Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome into another episode of One of These Years, our Detroit Lions podcast. I'm Chris Burke, joined by Nick Baumgartner, and we are, is it mock draft season? We're beyond free agency. We're in the window between the first wave of free agency and the draft. So this is when
it's you're getting like a mock draft else.
A day.
We've been in mock draft.
Yeah.
We've been in mock draft season for months, but yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, we want to talk about that quite a bit in this episode, though, because I think that we have seen, this has been, I mean, it's the wildest NFL offseason.
Yeah, a lot going on.
Ever? Maybe ever? Yeah. And a ton of trades, even this week, we had some more quarterbacks moving. Tyreek Hill got dealt about not even 24 hours ago. And the Lions are still sitting there at number two, trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do. Malik Willis had a good pro day. Matt Corral had a good pro day. A bunch more going on this week. Desmond Ridder's up on Thursday. So I don't know. Can you reset where we're at here with the number two pick? And there's just so much to figure out in the next month here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and I think that at this point, you know, when I did a mock for us this week, the full 32, because I think Dane is overwhelmed with the beast here right now. He's getting in the closing stretches of that. So I did one of those, and I tried to reset everything right after the quarterback carousel and the free agency window and all this stuff that we've seen. And, you know, a couple things become clear in that, you know, more and more teams are starting to see what, you know, Chris, what you and I saw in the rain in Mobile with Willis. I think more and more people are starting to see, you know, I think more and more people are starting to get there, I guess, is maybe the best way to say that with Willis. I don't know if there's a better way to say it, but like more people are starting to buy in or believe that he could be a guy that's possible as a top 10 pick. And I think that that opens up a bunch of, you know, now suddenly Carolina at six, you know, Atlanta now needs a quarterback. What do they want to do? Seattle is up there. What do they want to do? And then, you know, obviously the Lions, and you wrote about that this week too, you know, is that something they want to do? But it's just like there's so much going on around the Lions right now that I think it not only behooves them obviously to figure out what they want to do and who's their favorite player at this spot, you know, and how the board shakes, but like there's maybe an opportunity here. I don't know. It's March and a lot can change, but like, there's maybe an opportunity to move. I feel like there's maybe more of one than I can remember in recent years. I wonder if you have any thoughts or disagree on that.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think that that was part of probably the biggest thing. You know, I was watching that Willis Pro Day and even the NFL Network guys were talking about, well, maybe you trade into the 15 or 20 and then you pick him. No, there's no way.
No way.
Yeah. I think it's over. I think he's a top 10 guy in this
top
class.
Top 10 pick, yeah. I think so, too.
And, you know, some of that is just the class, obviously. You know, there's not – we've been waiting for a guy to emerge, and I think you can say at this point that he's kind of emerged. And some of that is – again, it's the class. It's just the desperation we're seeing from teams needing quarterbacks, and there still are some right behind the Lions that need quarterbacks. But I think you also he had a really good Senior Bowl. He had a really good pro day. He had a really good combine. I mean, like all the boxes you want to check off along the way here, not just for the physical part of it, but right. That's the big part of it. Like the other stuff, like we knew he was fast with a big arm. And now you hear all this stuff about, you see the stuff at his pro day about what a great teammate he is and hear about how he's doing in interviews. And the Lions coaches talked about how he was so far ahead of the curve with the playbook when he got to Mobile, like all this stuff that you need from your quarterback. And so I guess, do you feel like there's more chance that they're picking him at two or more chance that someone else is coming up to get him or might come up to get him at two? Like, is there enough momentum to think that the Lions could actually do this?
That's hard, you know, but I think, you know, I would say probably not. I would doubt it, but it's like, I don't know that. And if I'm the Lions, like, I would be pushing hard for people like me to think that they're definitely in on possibly taking him, because that makes that pick that much more valuable. I mean, like, that's, you know, that's sort of the point here. But I think that, yeah, I mean, yes, I think the easy answer on that is yes, that he needs to be part of their conversation. Like, we've, you know, you and I have talked so much about these pods, you know, like who are you sort of adding to the mix at two. Like, we've talked about Kayvon Thibodeau, we've talked about Hutchinson, obviously, if he's still there, Trayvon Walker, Hamilton. And I think that, you know, at this point, we've sort of been talking ourselves around this situation, but I mean, it's like, maybe the Lions have already been here, but like, yeah, I think Malik Willis needs to be in that discussion. Like, is he legitimately a guy that has what you think you need from a quarterback? And if so, then what are you waiting for? You have the ability to do it right now. You don't have to trade anything else. You still have everything you have that you have next year. You still have the ability to build your team around this guy as he grows. And if you, and as you and I have talked about, you know, he's more ready than people probably thought he was, I would say a year ago at this time for sure, and probably more ready than people thought he was maybe 6 months ago. Because I just think the more you watch him, the more you see him, and you mentioned it about the pro day, like one of the things that I, you know, didn't chuckle about, but I was like, the thing that stood out to me the most about his pro day, he's out there, he's throwing the ball, one of the kids drops a beautiful yep. pass over the middle, and the camera shows to Willis, who's immediately telling the kid, like, shake it off, don't worry about it. Don't, you know, only focused on the kid who, I don't even know the kid's name, drops the pass. Like, that's him. He's a pretty cool kid that everybody wants to be around. So if it's what you want, go get it. And I think that he has to be in consideration for them at two, yes. Whether or not they do it, you know, is another conversation, but all things considered, I don't know why he wouldn't be.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, I wrote about it this week, and I think one of the points that I made is that this is, you kind of have the cover to go do this if you want. Because exactly. The Lions want to draft and develop a guy. They have Goff in there. They have two more picks in the top 35. They have mm-hmm. four more picks in the top 100, so you could still build out this class with some other things. The problem is, if you wait till next year, and the view of this coaching staff heading into the draft is, okay, we want to draft a guy and sit him for a year. Okay, well, now you're pushing everything out to 2024. Is Goff going to be your quarterback in 2023? Are you, like, what's...
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you're just sort of kicking the can down the road. Eventually, Jared Goff is not going to be your guy here. I think that there is a ceiling with Jared Goff that mm-hmm. they're eventually going to have to break through with someone else. So, how long are you waiting to make that happen? And again, as we've said before, you don't have to do that in the draft. We've seen, you know, look at the quarterbacks mm-hmm. moving. That won't happen every offseason, but if you want to go find a guy and you're right on the brink, you probably can go trade for a guy.
Make it work, yeah, right.
You don't have to go through the draft, but I think that they do have some cover if they want to go through the draft. I think the idea of, it's interesting, I kind of go back and forth on the idea of, like, well, you need to convince everyone that you want this guy at pick two, because then that makes the pick more valuable. Someone else will trade up. So try to convince you, like, we'll give you this.
Right.
You want the picks more than staying put. Like, you want the draft capital more than staying put. So here's all this stuff we'll give you. The problem is, it's also kind of a fine line, because if you oversell how much you want a guy, then everyone wants to get in front of you, right? Like, everyone wants to go to one.
Yeah.
Say, well, we can't let the Lions get a shot at Willis.
That's totally fair. Yeah.
And so that's always the difficulty I have when we do this dance at this time of year.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you got to sell everyone that you're going to take them. Well, you don't want to sell them all the way, because
it is hard
to panic and say,
right,
well, we got to trade the Jacksonville spot. So I don't know how, that's a tough balance.
You got to back channel that bad boy. You got to get some people on the horn in the back rooms and figure that out. Yeah, I agree. It's really hard. But yeah,
well, that's what, I mean, and you and I have talked about that this week, is that it's been a little surprising. We know the Lions are out at a bunch of these pro days. We know that they've had a ton of contact with these quarterbacks specifically, but also with, you know, Holmes was out at Oregon to watch Thibodeau. They obviously know Hutchinson. Like, they had contact with a ton of these guys, and we have not heard. This is about the time of year where you start to hear the Lions are really poking around on this guy or that guy, and you start to, and a lot of that comes from you know, GMs and front office people sort of floating it just to see what the reaction's going to be, and we haven't heard any of that, so I don't know. I don't know. Do you have a take on why it's been kind of quiet so far?
It's my wonder is, you know, if this is Brad Holmes, and just sort of how he prefers maybe to not do things or maybe to do things. I'm not sure, because last year too, there wasn't a lot of that. I mean, I guess there maybe was a little bit of it late. But there wasn't a ton of
Chase stuff.
Yeah. There wasn't a ton of mystery there. And there wasn't a ton of what are they going to do? What are they not going to do? Or, you know, they like this or they don't like that or whatever. But then again, you thought about, well, they were picking a little later. It wasn't like they had a lot to move around with anyway. But, you know, with this one, I have wondered. Yeah, I mean, it is still, we're still in March here. So there's still time, obviously, for some of that stuff to percolate up. But like, yeah, I mean, I wonder if, you know, Holmes and Campbell, their whole thing is built on sort of like, we're going to say, you know, we're going to do what we say what we do and all that. And I don't want to say anything or commit to anything that I don't want to. And I that's why I say the back channel, we joke about these things that like, that's where those leaks and all that stuff kind of comes out. But with the Lions, I think, you know, yeah, I do wonder if it's still maybe Holmes sort of feeling his way around about, like you said, you know, you don't want to overplay your hand. You don't want to, you know, we can both remember watching Bob Quinn poorly navigate the situation. And some of that was beyond his control. The year, they drafted Okuda 2019 when they had that pick at 3. And it was like, well, I mean, in a normal situation, maybe they would have had a better chance to trade that thing, but you know, it didn't work in any way. And they were stuck. And it was like, what do you do? You don't want to be stuck, but at the same time, like there isn't a situation where the Lions are going to be stuck here. They're going to get a good football player no matter what. So for me, it's more about, you know, Willis should be on their board in serious consideration one way or the other. And then I'd look around at everything else happening in the NFL, and I think that if they sort of play their cards right, I don't know how that is. I mean, that's for them to figure out, that they could be in a pretty advantageous situation come draft night, because I think there should be a market for Kayvon Thibodeau. I think there's a lot of teams that really like him. You're hearing more and more trash being talked about Kayvon. That's not on accident, right? Like it's that time of year. And so I think there'll be a market for him. I don't know if there'll be a market for Willis or not, but like, you know, a lot more possibilities are starting to pop up here in theory, and it'll be interesting to see how these things kind of unravel.
Yeah, I mean, 2020, that Okuda draft feels like a missed opportunity. And we talked about trying to find a way out of there, but then Tua went 5, Herbert went 6. And so you look back and say, well, neither of those teams were willing to go up 2 spots and get a guy. And so, I don't know. That feels like a missed opportunity. But also, I will say, this was about the time of year. It was still March last year when the 49ers made their big move to 3. And that draft was a little more settled, I guess. You had a feeling what was going to happen at the top, so you knew what was going to be there.
You had the two quarterbacks, I guess.
But I don't think it's out of the realm of possibilities that something happens in the near future here. So do you think that they're in a spot where they're still better off trading, depending on what, I mean, obviously depending on what the package is, but like if they can get an extra pick and slide back 4 spots or 5 spots or whatever, like, do you think that that's still the best possibility here? Or are there 2 guys that you say, all right, these 2 are way above the rest of this class. They should just take whoever, Hutchinson or
whoever. Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, probably the answer is probably the trade in this draft is probably the most obviously it would depend on the deal and everything else. But as long as it's advantageous for you, then I think in this draft, Hutchinson would probably be the closest thing. Like if he's there, he would probably be the one just because of the fit, you know, not just because he's probably the most complete, ready right now, open the package, he's ready to go, just, you know, insert batteries type thing, you know, guy who's going to be able to walk out there day one and make an impact that you will feel, that everyone in the building will feel and see, and it won't be, he sucks or whatever, you know, this guy's a bum or no, like you won't have to wait any of that. It'll be, you know, and so he's probably the one, like if Jacksonville doesn't take him, that you say to yourself, like all things considered that we know about him, and what he can give us, like we talked about back in like January, like he answers more questions than Thibodeau, you know, regarding pass rush, run defense, and coverage. He's a more complete package. So he would be the one. If it's not him, Kayvon is probably there with Walker in terms of like the ones that you're going to have to make a decision for me. I think there's a lot more people on the Kayvon side that would say just take Kayvon, and I think there's a lot more people that would say they would have a harder time trading off of him because he is a special, an elite pass rusher. I still have questions about other areas of his game. I don't care about the off-the-field stuff as much as some of these people do, but there are other areas, you know, run defense specifically, but whatever. If you like him, I get that. After that, though, you know, that's what I would ask you the same question. Like, after that, I feel like the trade, you could just get more. You have an opportunity to get more, and they're still in that situation where that feels like it's a win, and it's hard to ignore.
I mean, I think if Hutchinson goes one, trade is probably your best option. Unless you want Willis, I guess. But, like, I don't see a lot of separation between even really Walker and Thibodeau and, like, Jermaine Johnson and some of these guys you might be able to get later in round one. Like, I think that they're the best. I think Walker and Thibodeau are the you know, 2-3 in whatever order you want to put them as those edge guys. But I don't think there's a huge, like, Jermaine Johnson to me is a top 10 pick in this class.
I agree.
I don't think you're losing a whole lot there. Like Hamilton, maybe you make the case that he's the first or second prospect in this class, but I could see him being there at, like, where'd you have him in the mock?
He wasn't top five, right? No, I mean, you know, honestly, when I was messing around with it at one point, I could see a scenario not that crazy where he was down at like 9, you know, where it was like he could fall to 9 or 10. And it's like, and you looked at it and you're like, well, that's not nuts. And he's a great player, but it's like, does anybody need, do you need, it's like Kyle Pitts. It's the same kind of thing with Kyle Pitts last year where it was like, he's an awesome talent, but like, he's a safety. He's still, you know, so yeah, point being is some of these guys could slip. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think I would look to trade out. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, it sort of circles back to the difficulty with the conversation on these quarterbacks, though, too, because I think the way this draft class sets up, the Lions are sort of in this no man's land where either you're going to have to really, really take a risk here at 2 and get, I'm assuming it would be Willis at this point, but maybe they love Pickett or Ridder or whoever, but you'd really have to take a risk there because I just don't. Maybe you fall into a guy at 32 or into the 20s where you can trade up, but that's a really tough game to sort of play with quarterback or say, well, I'll just wait and see what's there. Like that's
right. Yeah.
That's how you get in trouble. That's how you end up with Jordan Love at 26 and then you don't know what to do. And, you know, obviously that's a different situation than what the Lions are in. But like, like if you let other teams sort of dictate what quarterbacks you have a shot at, it makes it harder to find your future guy. Sometimes it works out. Sometimes you get Lamar Jackson at 32, and great.
But, yeah.
It doesn't always happen like that. Sometimes you get Paxton Lynch at 26, and then you're screwed for the next. The Broncos are still looking for a quarterback. Until this year.
Right. So, until this year. But I think you said it earlier. The carousel and the way that this thing is moving now. Maybe does it make you not? That's what I wanted to ask you. Does it make you less terrified of taking a guy up there and then like, okay, we get a couple years down the road and he sucks and we got to move off of him. Oh God, what do we do? Okay, well, that's a crisis, but it seems like it's one that's sort of being solved by some of these teams. Like, I mean, I don't know. That's my question to you here is like, are you less panicked about like, oh God, if we take this guy in the top 10 and he sucks, what are we going to do? Are we ruined? Like, cause that used to be the thought. I'm not so sure that's the thought these days. I mean, what's your sort of read on that whole thing?
I mean, I still think you could ruin yourself by taking the wrong quarterback in the top five. And I think that's, especially as you look
it's
ahead.
It's definitely bad.
Yeah, right. You look to next year and that class looks like it's going to be better. It looks like there's going to be more sure things toward the top. But I don't know. I mean, It's tough to sort of figure out where Willis slots in this class, frankly. And I think some teams are going to have him as a top 10 prospect. I think some teams are going to put him as like a third round grade on him because they just don't see it.
Yes.
Is that worth it at 2? I mean, like I said, I do think you have some cover here because I think you could take, hypothetically, you could take Willis at 2, come back and get some combination of edge, safety, receiver at 32, 34, 66, and walk out of there with 3 starters and still feel pretty good about what you did on the first 2 days of this draft.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. Where that's what it gives you is the ability to backload yourself because of all the top 100 picks. So it's like it's the same. What would be the difference if you took them at, I mean, obviously pay's different, but it's like people have said, well, take one at 32. And I'm like, okay, well, why don't you take one at 2 then? Like, because it's the same, right? And so, like, that's, I think the point you said maybe several months ago, and it's, yeah, I mean, that's the same thing we're kind of talking about right now, yeah, exactly.
I will say, like, I guess at 32, there's more of a possibility that you have a quarterback on top of your board, if that makes sense. Like, Willis, you might have to talk yourself into saying he's the second best player in this class. Yeah, I don't know that you can do that, even in a class that's so unsettled as this. But at 32, you could get there and have a point where you're like, oh, well, all right, Desmond Ridder is our 20th ranked prospect. He's still here at 32. Let's go best player available, and he happens to be a quarterback. Like, I think that could happen. I think that's more likely at 32. But again, if you're going – and so I guess that's the difference. Are you saying, let's just stick to our board, and if we take a quarterback, we take a quarterback? Or are you going into this draft saying, we have to get a quarterback? I think that's sort of the conundrum here. I don't know that the Lions are in that space. I don't get the feeling that they're in that spot where they're saying, we need to get a QB. So –
no, they're not.
Tend towards the not take Willis, see what's there later. If a guy happens to fall in your lap, you take him. But I agree with that. It's also kind of a, I think that sort of gives us some insight into where they see this whole project, frankly. Like, are they, like, what are they, how they come out of this draft, I think will give us some insight into where they see themselves being at. Like, do they think that they're on the verge of really turning a corner? Are they going to load up for need right away? Like, we need a starting safety and we need a starting linebacker and we need, like, that's what we're taking. Or are they going to just go sort of down their list and they take a Willis or they take a Ojabo who's not going to play this year.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Like, do you take some guys that you're looking 2 years down the road on, or are you taking guys that are plug and play? I think we'll get some idea sort of how they feel the progress is going on this whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like that the move for them is still probably to do best player at every spot unless you fall in love with the quarterback to a point where you can't ignore it. And I think that's sort of what your guiding light probably always needs to be to a degree, but that's probably where they need to remain, because I think you said it, Ridder is a great example and maybe the best example of this class. And like, Dane, I think, gave the Lions Ridder in his last mock draft right after the combine at 32. And, you know, when you look at the board, it was like, okay, like if Atlanta doesn't take a quarterback and Kenny Pickett slides, we know that New Orleans and Pittsburgh still, you know, are in the market for one. So maybe Ridder doesn't make it through there, but maybe he does. And maybe you don't have to do anything. And you can still get him at 34 or whatever in the second round, at the top of the second round. I mean, yes, that is absolutely still a possibility, and I could definitely see that happening this year. The Lions taking a guy in that range, if he's best player available on their board, you sit him behind Goff, and he's your future guy, and if he's not, whatever. But like, that's your sort of plan as you go forward, right? Like, and I could certainly see that being in the cards, and I wouldn't hate that at all if that fell to them, because it's very possible. I'm not ruling it out, and I don't think you would disagree. Kenny Pickett could be sitting there at 32. He could be sitting there in the second round. I don't know that he's not. So, you know, and we don't know where Willis is going. He's certainly going to be a first round pick. I think he's a top 10 pick. I don't think he's going to make it past Atlanta, certainly. I don't know if he makes it past Seattle or whatever. But yet, but like beyond that, still very difficult to see where these guys fall. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned you did your mock. I did one with the other beat writers, which hasn't published yet, and that's the situation that played out. Like, some of these other teams, there was a run early on edge guys. Willis went early, but then there wasn't, and there were a bunch of wide receivers went, a bunch of offensive tackles went, and then I was sitting at 32 and Pickett, Ridder, every quarterback other than Willis was still there, and I didn't take any of them, but because of some of the other talent that was available, and I went defense. But I thought long and hard, and that was sort of the situation I was just laying out. Like, if you're there at 32 and you know you're picking again at 34, and you want that fifth year option, and Ridder or Pickett or someone's there that you really think pretty highly of,
do it.
That, I mean, like, go take a
That's where you have a little wiggle room now, I think, I think,
the pressure's off there,
To some extent. Exactly. I think that when we're talking about, like, when we talked about this back in January of 2021, in terms of like every decision they make has to be like measured to the fucking like centimeter, right? Because like if anything is off at all, you got to start over. Like that was sort of how they were when they started everything at the beginning. I think now, of course, you're saying, you know, it's a later pick than number two, so obviously the pressure's off, but I think you're also like you've got more capital to work with now. Your cap is in better spot. You found some pieces that you like in other spots. Like, okay, like you can roll the dice a bit more here. You know, you can't like go all in and just gamble with your eyes closed. But I do think there's something to be said about somewhere in that top 100. I don't know where it would be. They maybe can feel better about taking a chance on a guy, right? I think that's where I'm going. I don't know if you would agree, but like, I think they're at the spot in the rebuild now where they've really done a good job, I think, of staying logical and staying very careful and conservative and, you know, really with everything. And so if they want to get a little ahead of themselves or whatever you want to call that with a guy that they really, really like somewhere in there, then I would say go for it.
Some of this ties back too to just Goff in general and like what the organization sure. thinks of him and how we see him. I mean, he's still under contract for three more seasons.
Three so more
through
years,
2024. Yeah. You can get out after 2022 if you want, but I think we still have some doubt that they want to get out. Like, I still think that
they
like
sure.
Goff.
Yeah. I don't think they know yet. No, I don't think they made a decision. Certainly not. No.
So what do you think that does to the, like, because that's the other reason, like, Willis makes sense because I think he's a draft and develop guy. He's a sit. Let's maybe give him some packages. Let's get him some snaps here and there, but we'll target a year down the road. Ritter or Pickett probably could start for you next year if you needed them to. Does that change the conversation for you?
Well, no, because I think for me, you know, Willis, like I said, you know, Willis was someone who I looked at maybe in, like, let's say last fall and thought, he's not going to be ready his rookie year. He might be ready his second year, but I'm not sure. By his third year, he should be fine, right? By the, you know, I watched more of him. You watched his season by the end of the season. And by the time we finished up watching him at the Senior Bowl, my thought was he's probably not going to be ready day one of his rookie year. He will absolutely be ready day one of his second year. He'll be ready to go. Like, I don't have doubts on that. I'm ready to buy that's, you know, a possibility, I suppose, with him. So I don't think it changes a ton there because I think both guys, either guy or whatever, in any situation like you're saying, if it's Ritter or Pickett, you still see what you got with Goff. You know, he's your guy this year. You tell him maybe next year he's still your guy, and then you let the rookie fight from behind, and the minute it looks like he's not, you know, you let competition sort it out. I think that would be what you do. And I think you could do that with any of those guys this year in the draft. And I also think you could take a guy next year. And to your point, because you still have Goff under contract for whatever it is, three more years, I guess, you could still, in theory, do that. I mean, you could still use Goff as a bridge to whatever the next guy is this year or next year with any of the guys we're talking about, I think, in this class or the top of next class. So there are still options. They don't have to do anything here with quarterback. I think that still holds after all the shuffling and everything else. But, you know, I think Willis is certainly one that you have to take a deep look at. I think a lot of teams have to take a deep look at him because you really don't want to pass on a guy like that if you're not, you know what I mean? Like, if it's like, I don't know, I think he's going to be really good, well, take him, right? Like, I think,
right.
You know, like, so that's kind of the thing with him.
Yeah, I keep going back and forth. They will also mention it feels like they went out of their way to try to get Goff back to a good headspace last year. And so if they do still have confidence in him.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you don't, I don't know, like, you can't avoid drafting a quarterback because you're worried that Goff's going to have like an anxiety attack. But
no.
But I do think that there is something to trying to keep him comfortable if they think he can still be a pretty good quarterback in this.
Right.
So, I think that's
an interesting conversation because I think that there's differences of what we're talking about here. Because last year, I think, would we agree that the task was as much about getting Goff's confidence back into himself just as a football player because Sean McVay had, like, taken it away. He would just basically destroyed it. I mean, you know, I'm not saying it was personal or vindictive, but the Rams crushed him. I mean, they crushed him, right? By giving up on a former number one overall pick and basically literally giving up on him for someone older, right? It's just, that's crushing, I'm sure, to a guy's psyche. I would say that that was maybe as much about anything else in the Lions saying, we need you to be usable for like a couple years here. We can't completely lose you, you know, in all things considered. Now, I think you can tell him that you've got him back to feeling like himself again. Like, hey, Jared, we liked where you were at. You're our guy. Go out there and sling it. But this is still the NFL. Like, we've gotten you back to feeling confident again, but you still got to compete. So I think as the older Goff gets, he's got to have the maturity to handle that situation as it is. He got over the heartbreak of being, you know, sort of crushed in public, which was not a thing to make light of. I mean, that's a real deal. So that was something that I think he had to get over as a player. And I think moving forward, you can't be afraid if you're the Lions of how he would react. And he shouldn't, you know, that should just be something that's understood there, that maybe they take a quarterback and he should just have to be fine with that. I mean, if that's going to be a problem, then I think that's another conversation. And I don't think it should be a problem. I think Goff, all the things we hear about him, to me, I think he would be okay in that spot. I do. I'd be surprised. I'd be surprised, actually, if he were anything but helpful or okay or whatever they need me to do here, you know, because I do think last year was as much about, you know, look, this guy, we need to help him get his own personal confidence back because, you know, circumstance was what it was and he needs that for himself right now. And that was that. So we'll see. But I would be surprised if that were an issue for them. Maybe. I don't know.
I said you didn't have Hamilton in the top five. You had him at number five in your mock. So I just want to go back to the mock, because you had Hutchinson go one, and then you had the Lions take Walker, and then Ekwonu, three to the Texans, Neal, four to the Jets. So a little offensive lineman run, and then Hamilton five, and Willis six. So as you were looking at that, and he had Atlanta take a quarterback too, where do you think is a logical spot if the Lions do want to trade down? Do you think it's... like, is Carolina the team that feels the most desperate to you? Is Atlanta? Like, Atlanta just signed Mariota, right, after they got rid of
Ryan? Atlanta just signed Mariota, and New Orleans just signed Jameis.
Carolina's tried to get in on every quarterback who's been traded for the past 12 months and hasn't been able to.
Yeah. 12 years. Yeah.
You know, New Orleans is down there at 18, needs a quarterback. Pittsburgh really likes Malik Willis. They're down at 20. They need something for the future. So what's your best guess for the team that would be most desperate, I guess?
The Falcons, I think, probably being the most desperate. You know, we'll see about Seattle. I think that was the one, too, that, you know, you don't know. I mean, they are obviously in a post Russell Wilson world, and I, you know, it's been a minute since they've been in this situation as a franchise, so it's hard, I think, to maybe totally guess on what they want to do. I know they just had Kaepernick, I think, work out, right, the other day, so I don't know what all is happening there with them or what their plans are, but, like, those are the teams that you look at and say need quarterbacks. For the Lions going down outside the top 10, that feels like it would be maybe not so great, but there does seem to be, you know, maybe an avenue, and, you know, I guess... you never know. I don't know. Would you entertain falling out of going down to 20? I guess it would have to be a haul. It would have to be a lot. But, you know, what would it take, I guess, on that end?
TJ Watt?
I mean, it would have to be a lot. It'd
have to be a lot.
Yeah. So how much do you love him if you're Pittsburgh, right? That's kind of what you're... so you have, teams that are... so, right.
I mean, to go to 20, I think you're talking about 20 plus next year's first, plus like a two somewhere. Like, it'd have to be... a significant deal. That's what what'd the 49ers get last year in that trade, or what'd they give up? It was 12.
That was a lot.
I think it was three first rounders and a third or something like that, right? To go to three.
Like,
so
yeah.
I think that's probably what you're talking about. Like, it could be two or three firsts and
huge haul,
sweetener, and like you'd
and probably a player. Yeah. Right.
Right. So Pittsburgh would have to sell out New Orleans too at 18. I think it'd be similar. So, to me, it feels like there's a floor there probably of like seven, maybe right in front of Atlanta, because then it's Atlanta and Seattle back-to-back. So I think that that's either five to get in front of Carolina or seven to get in front of Atlanta, Seattle, probably where teams would want to be. So and that feels fine. Like, again, like in this draft class, if you go to five and get an extra, even get pick, like if you get five and 36 for two, I think you'd feel okay.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would feel fine anywhere in the top 10, I think, in this draft. I think to that degree, I think, because that's probably the question, right? You know, I think you're going to be able to get a guy somewhere in the top 10 that would help the Lions right away. I think that's kind of the answer we're looking for. Like, if I could think of any of the edge guys, I think all of them in the, that we talk about as top 10 prospects would be able to help. If you went Hamilton, I think he would be able to help. I think, I mean, hell, if you went with one of the corners, I think either, you know, Sauce or Stingley maybe even would be able, you know, to help. So that's kind of the thing again, where it's like, there's a lot, this draft is not one where it's like, oh, there's not a guy, you can't pass on him. You'll always regret it. I don't know if that's in this draft. Hutchinson maybe would be the one. And after that, I think it gets, and that was how we started this conversation, but like, that's, we'll see where it all sort of unfolds, but it's definitely, there's a lot going on around the Lions right now. And I guess we'll see maybe where that all bubbles. I don't know, but it's changing the board. Definitely.
Yeah.
As I went through it, you know, like we were talking last night, like I'm not sure if Lewis Cine's going to make it all the way down to the bottom. But, like, maybe, like, some of those guys now that we thought about, like, there's no way he's going to make it down there to 32 if you don't move. Some of those guys might. I don't know. Like, it's changing things. It feels like the board isn't done changing, I guess, is maybe what I would also say. So, yeah.
You know, I mean, it is a good year to have extra picks. I mean, the difference between 20 and 80 in this class is not
it's
a lot.
It's not crazy. Right, yeah. It's not crazy. So,
I think that there's...
Yeah, I mean, shit, the difference between 15 and 60, is it that? Yeah, right, exactly.
Right, so if you even to get, like, an extra second or third round, like, to get one or two more shots on day two, I think would be worth considering in this draft. So there's a lot for the Lions. I mean, we haven't... We also haven't talked. I think the last time we recorded was before free agency, right? So they hadn't signed DJ Chark. They hadn't brought back Anzalone and Walker. And
right.
What else has happened? They brought Mike Hughes, just signed. Jalen Reeves-Maven left. Chris Broad came over from Baltimore. Am I forgetting people? I'm sure I'm forgetting people. People they've re-signed for sure.
Charles
Harris
well.
Was a big one. Yeah, obviously. So I don't know. What's your temperature on... I wrote, you know, last week sort of just trying to calm people down because I feel like there was a panic over, like, re-signing.
Khalif Raymond
came back, you know, like, just re-signing everyone. And now they've added Shark and Broad and Hughes. Still quite a few spots where you could get better, but I don't know. How are you feeling about this first and now into this, at least into the second wave of free agency here?
No problems, really. I think that, you know, we'll see if Hughes is their answer to what we kind of talked about is, you know, the next step there being you got to sign a defensive back. You know, you got to sign, you know, another veteran presence of some sort that can go in there. Maybe there's another answer there on the way, another corner, whatever else it would be. But, you know, yeah, I mean, based on the contracts, I think we, you know, did not mind re-signing Tracy Walker at all, did not mind re-signing Harris at all. Based on the deals that they were given, there weren't any commitments there that were insane, I didn't think. And then beyond that, you know, there was no reason to panic and spend crazy money on someone who was going to do what for you next year? Turn you from a 4-win team to a 6-win team? that's kind of what we're talking about with some of those signings that some people float, you know, in some of these years where every time one of these guys that's an attractive name pops up and it's like, the Lions would be embarrassing if they don't call him right now. And it's like, well, what for what? To sacrifice like 10% of their cap for a guy that's going to do literally nothing for them, you know, in the long stretch of things. So no, I have no problem with how they've handled free agency at all. You know, and I, to a degree, could understand the fear from some that had said, you know, it's starting to feel like they're just re-signing the guys they went to and whatever with, you know, last year or whatever, and that's all they're doing. And it's like, that's not really all they're doing because they still really haven't made any long, you know, the only long-term commitments who are the long-term commitments they have on the books right now in general? Would it be the draft picks from last year, the draft picks, Ragnow,
Romeo, Taylor, Ragnow,
and Romeo? Is that it? That might be it. I don't know if there's anybody else because Flowers is out. So, you know, there's not a lot of long-term commitments that have been made here, which means there's still a lot of paths you can take. There's still a lot of, you know, directions you can go, cuts you can make if you want to make a football analogy. So, like, I think that's important. In a rebuild, you have to be able to pivot off of something and go a different direction kind of at all times. Like, that's kind of what they're doing, right, in a lot of areas. Like, you don't want to paint yourself into a corner where it's like, okay, it's draft time, and we have to take a guy here now. We don't have a choice, and we don't like him, but we have to do it anyway, right? Like, you never want to do that, and I think they're just still in a situation where they're trying to make themselves get as much kind of room for error as possible, and I think that they're doing fine in that area. They've helped themselves with the cap. No problems there. I know you wrote about it, but I mean, like, I don't know if there's anything more to add on that front because it's been very logical still to this point, I think, for the Lions, and that's made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, I can, and as I mentioned, as I wrote, I mean, I can understand the frustration with there not being more of a splash because it does feel like there's, in this division this conference, a bit of a window to go from 13 and 1 to 9-8
exactly.
And be in it. And I think that they thought we all thought they should have won more than three last year. So if they're internally looking at themselves as, well, we should have been 5-12 or 6-11, it's not a huge leap to say, well, we can be a 9-8 team.
Right.
And so the only one that, like, I thought Marcus Williams was the one I think we all kind of had circled and said that would make a lot of sense. And the money he got was big, but it wasn't astronomical. I think they could have made it work. Walker's cap hit for this year is like $3.5 million or something because of how they structured that contract. So I think they could have made it work to have both those guys. That was the one where it felt like maybe they missed out. And I don't know that they were in it right to the end, but that's the one where it felt like maybe they missed out. Everything else, like Shark, I think, is a good signing. I think it was a little unusual that they tacked on two void years to his contract because now you're probably carrying him on the books beyond when he's here. I mean, I guess he could play his way into being a long-term fit.
Yeah, right.
But you're possibly carrying him on the books. But Harris, you got back. He's a $3 million cap hit this year. You could move on from him next year. You haven't done anything, like you said, to sort of hamstring you into the future. And I think you look at where they're at, like the offense looks like it's going to be pretty good. And the defense to me is where you're still like in the second and third wave, you make this point all the time. Like you can go find a starting cornerback in the NFL. Yeah. And they just tomorrow. Did the Mike Hughes contract.
Right. Exactly.
Like people keep asking, well, is he going to, like, does this mean, what does this mean for Okuda? What does this mean for Jerry Jack? Mike Hughes is your starter right now. He is a starting cornerback right now for you. And then you 100%. Figure out anything else. Like, you can't count on Okuda coming back right away. You can't count on Jacobs coming back. So I think your starters at this very moment are probably Hughes and Oruwariye and Melifonwu is your third. And A.J. Parker's in the slot. And that's where your starting point is. But they still need, I think they still need to add there. They need... How many safeties do you think that they need?
Oh, my God.
Three? It's like become a running gag that we talk about Will Harris as much as we do, but like...
I know. They keep talking about him.
They keep bringing him
up. Well, okay, so like, but I think that even if they love him, like, let's say they love him, like, and he's their guy. Like, I still think you need another one. Like Hughes, you need another guy. Because I think the point here is, like you mentioned earlier, the offense is on the verge. You're going to have an offense that can move the ball next year. If Goff does the things that you think at baseline minimum he can do, the offensive line takes a step, right? Defense, you know, there's still things to work on, but I think the main thing defensively that you have to keep in 2022 is like the enthusiasm and the energy and effort that they played with the whole year. That can't fade, right? Like, because last year it never faded even when they were sucking. Like, even when they went through some stretches where it was like, holy shit, this is bad. They are real bad right now. But, like, they didn't quit. They never gave up, right? They just kept scrapping and fighting. And that's something that's like, you know, we can't sit here and say that that's just going to happen every year. Like, some of that is unique to the time and situation and the mix that they had right then and there, right? That you can't recycle that every single year. You can say you want to, but I think to a degree you have to be able to bring some guys in like a Hughes, like, you know, and that's why I think it was important to bring back somebody like Anzalone. Like, you have to bring some veterans who understand the situation, who understand what's happening, who want to help push the younger players, who aren't going to suffocate the younger players, but also think, you know, that they've still got enough to give an NFL team and be valued and be wanted and used. And I think that the Lions still have opportunities, I would say, to offer probably veterans in certain situations that can help them. And that's what I would probably say. If you're not going to, you know, move off of Will Harris and go to a different, you know, starting safety next to Tracy Walker, then you at least probably got to do something with regard to, let's get a safety net then. Bring somebody else in here that in case this thing gets off the rails and you get six games in and Walker's looking around like, what the hell are we doing? Why am I still standing next to this guy who can't figure out what's going on? Then you have an answer, right? Like, those are the things you got to avoid now. Like, as I think that's the stuff that as you move forward into this rebuild, like the guys that you have on board, you have to keep helping them. And the minute you look like you're ignoring them and not helping them, you know, is when those cracks start to come up. And I think that's important for the front office to sort of remember as you go forward here.
And also to the points that we made about, you know, sort of sticking to the plan, like Jalen Reeves-Maybin was the one I thought.
Yeah.
That like, was a, of the guys who left, that was the one that.
Thought they'd bring him back, yeah.
Yeah. Just the way that they talked about him, the way we knew Campbell thought about him. I think that was as much Reeves-Maybin wanting to go somewhere where he was going to be assured a big role as anything
else. And
he got
good money, too.
And good money. And he got good money. And they brought in, this is, I think it was a good move to go get Chris Board from, I might have called him Chris Broad earlier, but Chris Board from Baltimore, because he's going to fill a lot of that same stuff. He's been a guy that, like, if you go back and look at how Baltimore's coaches have talked about him, it's how the Lions talked about Reeves-Maybin, like,
exactly.
In July of last year. Like, we think there might be more in here than what he's been able to show here. And they got him for, like, half the price of Reeves-Maybin for this year, and he'll play that special. He's a really good special teams player. He'll be your, you know, fill-in linebacker. So I think that that was smart. But that one, you know, that's – the Reeves-Maybin one was a little unexpected, but otherwise, yeah, I mean, I think that they've done a decent job. Mike Hughes was a nice signing, nice value signing. I still think they need two safeties. I think they need one more corner. They need another linebacker. They need another pass rusher. Like, you still got a pretty big list here, and that's why you look at the draft and talk about it so much. But
it can't still, all come from the draft, to your point. Yeah, right.
It still, to me, looks shaky in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's definitely shaky. Yeah, it's not stable. No. Yeah. I would agree with that. Shaky in a lot of places. But I think, like, you know, room, like you said, like, you know, just there's room for them to take good steps in a lot of areas. But, like, that would be the one thing free agency-wise, I guess, still. It's like, you still probably need some guys that can be talent upgrades right now to make sure that you're not, like, getting stuck in your progress. Because next year, you know, that's the thing we haven't really talked about a ton yet, and it's only March. But, like, when you get into next season and you get going, you know, no one expected the Lions to win anything, obviously, last year. Now, we look at the fans and we saw how they went through the year and they started panicking about going 0-17 after, what, week two? I would say week three. So that, you know, was a thing they had to, the hurdle they had to climb. But, you know, everybody was willing to give Dan Campbell the, you know, benefit of the doubt, basically wire to wire. After they saw the fight, after that first game, it was like, okay, you know, we get this guy. We're here. Now, you know, some of that gets harder. So, like, you have to make sure, I think, and some of that comes through free agency and being smart with those signings and making sure that you're selling those opportunities to the right people. You know, and that's why the one signing I would say that I look at still and I'm like, I don't know about that totally, was the Tim Boyle one. Maybe it was the one
people
where
I'm not
so
people
sure
are not happy about that
signing. What you're doing with that one. You're going to have to prove me on that one. But other than that, everything I think has been cool. And, like, I would say, though, that maybe there is still room, like you're saying. You can't add all of those defensive needs right now through the draft. Some of those need to be veteran voices, too. I think that are sprinkled in there.
We kept telling people they like Tim Boyle, though, to be
fair. They do, but like, yeah. But it's like, how much? Yeah, whatever. I mean, it's not anything, like, again, it's not a long-term commitment. It's not anything they can get out of or whatever, so I guess we'll see.
I didn't think they need to sign both those guys on the same day. You know, bring them back. You could have gotten Blau back in June, right?
And I understand the fans see that. Like, the average fan is like, what the hell is this? Like, the average fan who doesn't, you know, get into the weeds sees that and is like, what the hell are they doing? Why do we have three quarterbacks, none of which anyone would want as their starter under contract? Four quarterbacks. Yeah. And so it's like, yes, I get that point. That point of it from 30,000 feet, it looks pretty bad, but I don't know. I can't really explain the Boyle one, I guess, as much, but is what it is. It's not that big of a deal either, I guess, to be fair.
How close to being done do you think Brad Holmes is with his spending here? Because I do think that the second and third wave is when he's going to jump in. Like whether it's Nick Williams coming back or someone similar to Nick Williams, probably defensive tackles on that list too, safety, corner. Like how many more signings are you expecting here?
I would think that they still probably get, like you're saying, maybe like one or two notable additions defensively would maybe be what I would kind of maybe look at. One or two, you know, another defensive back, maybe two defensive backs, maybe another defensive back and a defensive lineman. And then maybe you already brought back Ancelotti and maybe you take care of a linebacker in the draft, right? Like maybe that's what, and then you feel, you know, obviously the draft for other spots too, but maybe two sizable, noted ones. Like when I say noted, I mean guys who could come in and, you know, reasonably maybe start a game and carry a load, like that kind of thing. So, but I think you're right. I think that the next, and we'll see sort of what else happens elsewhere and who else comes available, I guess. But I would, that's what I would also say is like, I wouldn't necessarily rule anything out on them with their money all the way up, you know, like, wouldn't even be shocked if they got to camp and you're like, what are they doing here? Like, and then it's still like, right, and then they bring right, somebody yeah, in maybe, and you know what I mean? Like, I could definitely see that. I could see him even sitting deep into August or maybe July as you get into early August and then seeing or taking a look. But yeah, no, they need some more veteran help there. Yeah. And the back end for sure. I mean, that's just, Hughes is a nice ad, but I don't feel like it's enough.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think everyone would agree there. Right?
It's not enough.
Yeah. And even knowing how good these coaches can be, like, to try and piece it together.
Yeah, I almost feel like two more defensive backs is, like, kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that almost would be my, if you're going to spend, but I don't know if that's what they'll do, but that's sort of almost my, yeah, it's shaky for sure.
Right. I mean, I will continue for now to give Will Harris the benefit of the doubt because they like him so much.
They like him.
Yep. I mean, I tweeted out the other day, I went back and watched some of Juju Hughes, this guy they claimed from the Rams at the end of the mm-hmm. season. He looks like he's kind of a movable piece in that back end. Maybe he's in the mix. So again, you probably could piece it together, and same thing at cornerback. Like if Okuda's healthy, you've got four or five guys that you could play, but
right, but what's he gonna be? I mean, exactly.
You're facing the Packers twice and Justin Jefferson twice. The Dolphins, right. Dolphins are on the schedule this year.
Yeah, like, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, not to get too deep into this, the Packers lost Davante Adams, but they still have two picks, and they can still draft like Chris Olave or something, and that's gonna be just as bad or damn near close. Maybe not just as bad, but it's gonna be bad. So, like, I mean, yeah, there's still a lot of really good receivers around here, and they're not going to stop coming as you watch college football. So, yes, I agree. It's shaky, and they need to get better there. Like, that's the thing we talked about. Like, Aaron Glenn can only do so much. Like, he needs some level of veteran help, I think, back there to help the young guys too. Like, that's how you have to look at it. You're getting a double whammy. You're you know, Hughes comes in, he helps you right now on the field, but he's also helping, you know, the guy behind him grow. So, like, that's what you're ideally trying to pay for right now still, I think.
All right. Well, I am headed to the league meetings, a little spring break trip to like a 48-hour spring break trip to Palm Beach at the ridiculous.
I thought that was in Phoenix. Okay, so you're not doing 48 hours to Phoenix.
It bounces like back yourself? And forth. This year's back in West at the Breakers in West Palm Beach, which they throw
oh my God.
The the like Monday night soiree they throw for everyone is back on, which is just like I can't even imagine how many hundreds of thousands of dollars that they blow on this. The NFL blows on this. The hotel that they're at, if you go on there right now and look for a room for next month, it starts at about $1,700 a night. So that's where I am not staying there.
So Chris will be going to hang out with the Hampton upper crust of the world. Yeah, the world's decision makers. You'll be by Del Boca Vista down there by the Seinfeld retirement community.
Play some shuffleboard. But yeah, so that's always it's always an interesting it's always an interesting couple of days. Like
Hey, Sheila will have some interesting stuff to talk about.
Sheila should be down there. Rod Wood should be down there. Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell. I would assume Dan Campbell's down there. They do like a coach's breakfast with the media on the record for a half hour.
That'd be cool.
Monday, Tuesday, every coach in the league is supposed to come. So I will be down there for that, and then we've got a pretty straight shot into the draft from there. So.
Buckle up.
How are you? What's your grade on the Lions offseason so far?
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say a solid B, right? Like, I mean, I think you made the point about, you know, missed opportunity with Marcus. Like, that's one. Yeah, and I think that's fair. That would be fair to say. Like, if you were going to spend money, like, that would be one. That was one worth, you know, there's a fit there. There's a familiarity there. You could have made it work, probably. So that would be one where you'd say, okay, maybe that's one. But beyond that, you know, solid BB plus. I just don't really have a lot of things that I would be mad at that they did. You know, like, I think we both kind of said when it started, like, if you want to take a shot at a guy, it's not going to be, you can, but you really need to sell it. It's got to be like, it's got to work in all areas. So I really like the Shark edition. I think that was really good and savvy, and the way the contract worked out, and bringing and being able to bring back guys like Walker and Harris to reward them and show the rest of the building that they're willing to do that. I think that is super important and will go a long, long way in keeping the thing we just talked about keeping the morale kind of where you want it. So B plus, I don't have any problem with it. Like, you know, and that's, I wasn't looking for an A plus, really. I didn't need them to go do anything nuts.
Right.
So right there, not showing off, not falling behind. I mean, go hit an A plus in the draft. That's where I would, if you're going to have an A plus in the offseason, I'd prefer it be in the draft 10 times out of 10, really, but like, especially this year.
It feels like that's almost what they're aiming for, right? Like a B.
Yeah.
Give us a B, free agency period, trade whatever, offseason, and then we'll see what we can do from there.
Yeah.
I will also mention as we close, like, I think it's important. We keep hearing every single guy that they sign keeps talking about the culture, which I think is important. But I also, like, you connect these dots. DJ Chark was a guy that John Dorsey did a ton of work on before that draft. Mike Hughes came in and said he met with Aaron Glenn before his draft, and the Saints really liked him. Like, they obviously was a history with Reynolds. They're still bringing in, for the most part, guys that they knew before they got into free agency. Like, they didn't just open the book on free agency and say, all right, what do we know about this guy? It's still guys that they have some level of history with and understand. And so I think that that is, we talk about sort of reading the tea leaves. Like, I think that they're still very much in that, like, let's lay the foundation stage of this. And so we'll see where it goes from there, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. I think so far so good. And we'll see where it goes. Yeah. That's kind of how it's been for a while.
All right, so you can find our podcast on the app, the Athletic app, ad-free. Head over and get a subscription if you haven't yet. We still have a nice deal running. You also will get Dane's, Nick mentioned Dane's The Beast.
There is.
Incredible draft guide. Usually drops the first week of April, so we're getting pretty close here.
I think it's coming, because, that's why I did the mock. Yeah, because I think they were like, they wanted Dane to do one this week after free agency and with all the carousel, and they're like, but I think he's about to fall over because I think it's due or something soon. So
yeah,
soon, it's on the way for sure. Yes,
he's got like, I think he's got four kids now, like young kids in his house, and he works from the office.
I can commiserate with two, and I know you can too. So,
I don't know how he's feeling health wise these days, but hopefully he pulls through and gets.
The beast is on the way, folks.
So that comes with your subscription, and obviously we'll have a ton of draft content. Like I mentioned, I'll be in Palm Beach next week for the league meetings, hear what everyone has to say down there, and then we got about a month, less than a month from then until the draft. So stick with us here. We'll have a ton more content for you. As mentioned, you can find us on the Athletic app ad-free or Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever else you listen. So thanks to tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.